everyone. Welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 11. I'm Jason Webster here with your other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston.
Jason, Jeff.
Jake.
Eh?
Jason, Jeff, Jake.
Jason, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, pal. How you feeling, man? You feeling better?
I'm at like 85%, which is good enough to be on here at least.
Yeah, that's good. I mean,
The threshold
should
be.
I was around you. It was bad.
80 should be, 80 is like the threshold. Like if you're below 80, it's like you're questionable.
Yeah.
You know?
Being on the verge of death was where I was before. So, you know, this is much better.
Yeah, you are definitely.
That's way better. Way better than
you're on
dead.
The PUP list.
Yeah, I felt like for like a day or two that I was going to end up like you and be in the hospital. Like I was pretty sure it was going to be that
way. If you went in the hospital, you could try it for the Bills. The all-infirmary team they got on right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's an all-star team of injuries currently.
I told Jake earlier, like, we're, you know, four or five players a game. We'll be out of it pretty soon if we don't be careful.
Right. Yeah, we're going to have to get, like...
We're just going to be signing all these guys, like, randomly to fill in other spots. It's like, holy smokes.
Yeah, it's not good, man.
Like, is the injury bug technically with us? I mean, it seems like it.
It's sad because, like we always talk about, it's so... It took so long to get to a place where you have a really good football club and like
for two games.
Yeah.
For two
the
days.
Hype is they're going for a Super Bowl. They look fantastic. Everything's good. And then it's just like the wheels came off the cart, man.
Well, everybody, what was the biggest thing going into the season? Everybody said
stay healthy.
No injuries, man.
Yep. Stay healthy.
You know? And it's like, okay, we can deal with some, right?
Right.
But can we deal with like our entire defensive backfield gone?
Yeah.
That's hard. Can you deal with like a majority of your offensive line hurt? That's pretty tough. Like,
I mean, it was bad enough going into the game with five defensemen out, but like if it had just stayed there, come on, man.
Yeah,
right.
It's tough. Right. I mean, we had out Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, and then you're going to the backfield. There is 1, 2, 3, 4 guys
Dane
out.
Jackson.
That's 7.
Micah Hyde.
Poyer.
Poyer's gone. So, I mean, you're
Trey
on the verge
White was
of
already
10 starters.
IR.
You know, between the offense and defense. That's hard, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're legitimately at the point where it's difficult to field a team.
It sucks that we have
some
now
scary
look
shit.
Back and go, being without Trey White for half a season last year wasn't that bad. Like, they still had success without Trey White because it was one guy. Even if he's your best defensive player, it's one guy. Man, we can't afford to lose many more.
Like, it's very reminiscent of what everyone was going through during the first COVID season with all the people who were out from COVID all the time, except it's just us and it's not COVID.
Right. Yeah. And it's not just us.
No. I mean, no.
The quantity.
I mean, Miami had their own struggles as well.
Yeah. And the quantity is definitely us. Like, I think we have the greatest quantity, but there's other quality players that, around the league. Sterling Shepard today. Like a MCL or ACL tear, he's done for the year.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. It sucks. It has to be. Why does it have to be us, you know,
right
now? Because
when we're good.
Yeah. We're the Super Bowl favorites, and it has to be us right now. Like,
can't
we have one more season where we stay healthy,
you know?
We just have to hope that we can get through the next 3 or 4 games, get some of our guys back.
I agree.
And we'll be able to get through this.
We got
to
get out
of... If we can win 50% of our next games, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. We have six games before the bye, right?
Right.
So right now we're 2-1. If we can get out of here and hit the bye at 4-2, I'll be like, thank
that
you,
would
Jesus.
Be, yes, that would yes. be pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah, because now then you're talking about Trey White being back. Hopefully this week we're going to get Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips.
Dane Jackson will be back
Poyer.
After the bye.
Dane Jackson will probably be back after the bye.
Yep.
They didn't put him on IR, right, as far as you know?
No, he's still on a questionable status, it seems.
They now started that 4-game IR, so if they thought he was going to be out for even 4 games, I think he would have went immediately to IR.
Yeah, maybe they were just being safe about it.
Well, I think they're just thinking that if he's out for a couple of weeks, they'll get him back. I mean, like Jake mentioned earlier today, that it is possible, it's conceivable, he could be back this week.
That
we
would
don't
be pretty
know,
cool.
You know?
It could
Poyer
be.
Poyer hopefully will be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we might be looking at a whole different team come Sunday.
So,
yeah,
you know, on the point of injuries, was anyone else surprised that Tua came back in?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
that's nuts.
I saw him stumbling like that.
That's
I was like,
nuts.
This guy's out.
Yeah.
Tons of people. I was looking on the Twitter feed, dude. There's a lot of people being like, wow, I cannot believe this dude is coming back in the game right now.
They initiated that investigation, the NFLPA. So,
well, they were like,
we'll
you know, he cleared concussion protocol. And I'm like, the dude couldn't fucking stand up. He didn't know what day it was. How does he clear concussion protocol?
Well, that's the funny thing. They're saying then maybe their requirements for the concussion protocol
aren't good enough.
Like, if somebody in that much danger, I mean, literally, that's a concern, right? is that right. He suffered a concussion. Concussions can lead to other issues with, you know.
And that's the thing. When you, when something like that happens to you medically, that is literally nothing else. There's no other possibility than your brain smashed into the side of your skull.
Right.
And what happens is swelling occurs.
Yep.
That's a guarantee. Those are not questions.
Right.
So at that point, you have to wonder, does he hit his head again and like really, really do some real damage? I mean, how do you let
start
a guy play like that?
In your brain or something? Like,
yeah,
shit,
at this point, in this day and age with concussions, everybody knows what it's all about now, right?
Right.
We all know what happened to Junior Seau and all these guys that, you know, ended up, you know, committing suicide and things because they had
CTE
and all these issues. Well, if you're a player in today's day and age, you know what comes with concussions, right? And and you shouldn't let, I don't care who you're playing for, what kind of pay grade you got or what position you're at. I mean, that's your livelihood. You know, that's your, well, I should say that's your life.
That's your life.
Yeah. Dude. So, I mean, you shouldn't at any point let a owner, a coach, anybody talk you into going back into a game if they, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not a doctor, but I do know, and I've heard this specifically with Sidney Crosby's case, they had mentioned that every time you have a concussion, you become 50% more likely to have an additional concussion. So that's a concern, like you're saying, longevity-wise. When you get beyond football and you're trying to live your life and have a family and whatever, like, yeah, I mean, a fall off a ladder could be another concussion. Like,
you
got
to
be careful with this shit.
Yeah.
Like I said, man, guys have committed suicide basically because of damage to their fucking brain.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean,
that's nasty shit.
I was just going to mention the Bills signed former Cardinals offensive line Justin Murray. So because Tommy Doyle
went on
freaking
on,
he's on.
He's done for the year.
He's on IR with what was it?
Torn ACL.
Torn ACL.
Yeah.
So, and then we had Xavier Rhodes in today. He was the cornerback from the Colts, ex-cornerback from the Colts.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's that's a pass and a physical kind of a thing. I think at this point where we're at with the hopes that he could play almost immediately, that you'd at least have at least contractually an idea what he's looking for, and you would know that you could meet that contract if he were to be deemed physically able to perform all that shit. So, yeah, right. We both talked about it. Like, I've been a fan. Like, I've always liked him. A really good player.
When he was in Minnesota.
Good size.
I watched him in college. He played for Florida State. He was a really good corner coming out of college, obviously. He got drafted. But
what'd you say? It was like 6'1", maybe, something like that, 215?
Yeah, good size. He's a good size corner, you know? And, I mean, that's
physical. He was always a physical player.
Exactly. Yeah. So we need somebody because I was telling Jason earlier, we were talking, and I'm like, man, the fact that we had to start a rookie undrafted free agent from UB, nonetheless. Nothing against UB, but
absolutely not.
UB is not the creme de la creme of, you know,
college football.
College football athletes. I mean,
that's
it's
very true.
So when
you're
just like, man, we need to do something to get a guy in there because that's getting a little thin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, pretty soon they're just going to have to ask for people out of the audience to come down.
It's crazy because I heard Sean McDermott's interview, his media thing today, and he was talking about, is it yesterday or today? But anyways, he's talking about, like, you know, how's Poyer, they're all getting better. Well, like, it tells you absolutely zero.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they're improving. That's great. Are they going to be available? Like, do you think, like, 50% or 75% chance they're available for this week? Because it's huge.
Correct.
Like you talked about, not having Ed Oliver was bad enough. Not having Jordan Phillips and Ed Oliver?
Right.
That's tough, man.
And if they knew, think they would say?
I think
Here's the thing that I really thought about that. And the reason why they're so vague to the very, very last second is game planning for the other team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't want the other team to know if they're playing or not, because you know, on day three, it's Wednesday, we just played Sunday or whatever, and they're like, yeah, he's good to go. Boom. That team can just all of a sudden start game plan for him to be in the game. So I think they want to be as vague as possible.
I think so.
Just for that
within
kind
the rules,
of reason.
Just so people don't plan around our weaknesses and strengths and things like that.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, for us, I mean, we all want to know right away.
For people who participate in fantasy sports, which there's a shit ton of them, including all three of us, Yeah, it's hard when they're questionable all week long. The last report's Friday. The game's on Sunday, and you have to wait till an hour or two before game time before you know if they're even in the lineup. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's somewhat of a selfish aspect, I guess, of it, is the fact that we personally have an interest in beyond the fact that we want our club to be successful. We want our fantasy teams to be successful, too. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, it raised my level. We talked about this a little bit, I think, about fantasy football before. Is one of the neatest things, it raises your interest in the entire league, not just necessarily your team. All of a sudden, you got a player from Minnesota or wherever, and you're starting to follow them a little bit closer because you're interested to see how your guys are performing. So,
yep. Yeah, and, you know, on a personal level for the team of Buffalo, you and I both happen to have them as our defense in our leagues.
Two different leagues.
Oh, two different leagues both have Buffalo.
Did they give you
They ended
some
up
good
with
points?
10 points.
They did good, man. 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
They ended up with 10 points this past week based on a punt that hit a freaking guy in the ass and caused a safety. So our defense was given the points that a safety gives, which they're so rare, you actually get quite a few points for that.
Yeah. Hey, man.
So, yeah, a runner
shits his pants
score.
And falls over, and the other guy goes and gets first place. You still get that first place.
Yeah, right.
I'll take it however I can get it.
You know, it's funny with this game because we are now known, this game will be partially known as the butt punt.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a zoomed in picture I was looking at on Twitter. And it was like
zoom jiggle.
Yeah, and it's like this like big jiggle indent. Blah, 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 and it's blah, like blah, blah. And like the whoever wrote it to like this picture is very unsettling. Like
did you see what Mark Sanchez tweeted right after that?
Uh-uh.
He's like, stay out of my lane, man. Because he had that butt fumble.
Oh, so, yeah.
Remember that?
No, the butt fumble.
The butt fumble. Yep. So he's like,
ran
hey,
right into it.
That's my fucking play. You stay out of my area.
And
man.
The funny thing to kind of play off that one is, do you remember Dan Orlovsky? Literally was playing the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, and he was backed up in the end zone, and he rolled out, and he was running like 2 yards out of the end zone,
trying
to make a play.
Yeah.
So this week, the Niners game, Garoppolo was like 2 steps in the back making a throw. Dan Orlovsky finally, he tweeted, he goes, he's like, finally, I'm off the hook.
Yeah, no shit.
You know?
That's awesome.
I know. Because that's like, that was like one of the like dumbest boneheaded plays. Man.
Right.
I feel like, and this might just be a colloquial thing, but I feel like when I was a kid, I used to see people get stuck in the end zone a lot more and in that danger of that safety.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like all the time I was hearing about safeties, and now it's so rare.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird year. I mean, and to fly off on a little bit of a tangent, we've talked about this already. We're 3 weeks into the season, and technically, we don't really have a good handle on who the good teams are.
It's tough.
In the NFC, Philadelphia's 3-0. Other than that, like, Green Bay's looked suspect. Tampa Bay, wide receivers, you know, they're shorthanded. Like, the whole league.
Are you talking about the whole league or mostly the NFC?
Yeah, well, both. Like, the AFC West was the division of football. That was, like, Kansas City and, you know, the Chargers and the Raiders and Denver, and that was going to be it, man. That is the – whoever comes out of that's probably going to go far, and it's like,
well,
they can't get out of their own way.
It looks like the bad losses this week so far. I mean, for instance, KC ended up losing to the Colts. Who would have thought that the way the Colts have played the last 2 weeks?
Right.
Then let's move to the Chargers. Who would have thought Jacksonville would have went in to L.A. and completely destroyed
the
them.
Chargers. Like just, it wasn't even close.
Then you got Las Vegas in that division, 0-3. They look like they can't score or they can't stop anyone from scoring.
Right.
I mean, they had that comeback. They were up, what, 3 touchdowns against Arizona in
Something
week 2?
Like that, yeah.
How are the Rams doing?
The Rams
they're probably the strongest in their division right now, right?
Yeah.
They're up there.
I'd say
so. Yeah,
I mean, they almost lost to Atlanta week 2.
Yeah,
Atlanta. Yeah,
yeah.
They beat
Arizona pretty handily.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then who else? I mean,
Denver.
Denver's just look like a shit show.
Denver is like they're saying the worst 2-1 team in the NFL.
Dude,
how are they 2-1?
I don't know. I don't know how Russell Wilson is even keeping his composure right now.
Right.
I mean, you're an all pro.
He's getting sacked more now than he was with Seattle, and he had an issue back then.
But the thing is like the way he's running the offense looks like really high school.
It's everybody's just, pointing to the coach, man.
Like he's bad right now. Like his passing or completion percentage is the lowest of his career.
Right.
Quarterback rating, lowest of his career. Like he's
got talent around him.
He does.
Jerry Jeudy.
He does, but
he's got some guys to throw to.
I don't know if it's Nate Hackett screwing him up, but that division.
That's what everybody's pointing to. Everybody's pointing at Nate Hackett going, this guy's just not
good. That division right now is just a shit show.
Which is crazy. Yeah. Like we talked about it. And it's going exactly how we'd hoped. They're supposed to beat the shit out of each other.
Right.
You know, so that way it'll help our chances in the conference. Yeah. But
right. Right.
But we have to help ourselves first, you know.
Well, we have to climb out of the hole that we're putting ourselves in.
Yeah.
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 Well, we might as well get it out of the way and just do a quick recap on that Miami game, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Just, you know, get it out of our system.
We outplayed them in just about every statistical category there is.
How many plays did we run, Jeff?
90 offensive plays to, I think, 40 plays maybe, 42 somewhere.
And anybody who's talking about Tua right now really should shut the hell up. Because when it came to shove against our reserve players, he didn't look all that impressive.
Yeah, like you talked about Kyrie Elam locked down Tyreek Hill. I'll tell you what, you want to test for a rookie cornerback in the NFL? How about you hold Tyreek Hill to two catches? Two catches, what, 10 yards? Something like that?
Right around there. Yards? Right like, around there.
Now, given Waddle got some serious yards, but that was mostly just two passes.
Right.
Yeah. Take those away, and they lost 70 yards offensively.
But we had no starting cornerbacks, no starting safeties. We had four defensive backfield almost brand new.
Not to mention we had two defensive linemen from the practice squad that got moved up because Oliver and Phillips were out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, dude, I mean,
yeah, that should have been an opportunity for Miami to really exploit the Bills defense.
Who would have thought going into that game? All of us thought like, oh God, here we go. It's going to be a shootout because they're just going to exploit this defense.
Right.
Like, and who would have known that we would have had the ball for
40
over half the game and we can only muster out 19 points to where we've averaged 36 points against the Dolphins the last seven games.
Yep.
And we could only muster 19.
Everything had to go wrong. Like, I don't know if it's some sort of New Orleans voodoo kind of a
thing. Now, to give them a little bit of credit, their defense did pressure us quite successfully. It was a reasonable showing.
Yeah, their defense.
But we had issues on the offensive line. Mitch Morse. I mean, like,
well, yeah.
If there's an offensive lineman that your quarterback would insist be there each and every game, it's the center. They work in unison as one.
Well, and we know that Spencer Brown was having issues with the heat. Obviously, he came out of the game at a certain point. And before that, we were kind of talking to each other about the fact that that may be the case. Something is wrong.
Yeah, yeah. He was getting beat hard.
He was getting whooped. And then, you know, Ryan Bates, he was out.
He had a head injury.
Then we got down to our third center. And Eric Wood mentioned something. I don't know if you guys listened to what Eric Wood had to say on, I think it was Show Up in the Bulldog a couple of days ago. But he made a really good point that we just don't think of because we didn't play the game like he did, especially at center. But when we're at the goal line, that goal line stance they had when Josh skipped the ball to McKenzie and we didn't end up putting any points, he said the reason that we didn't run the ball, the reason Josh wasn't under center is because he's never had any snaps with Greg Mantz.
Oh, yeah, and that's the toughest. I did hear that.
And exactly if you're under center and you never have snaps with a guy.
In a short yarded situation at the goal line.
He's like, it's bad news to do that. Like, you're going to fumble the ball. Someone's going to get hurt. He said, Eric Wood said, being in a short yardage situation, because it's so fast, you're trying to get the ball back and block at the same time. He said, the nose tackle's hitting you before your quarterback even gets the ball.
Right.
He's like,
are you talking about the failed spike play or the other one?
The goal line.
No, this is at the goal line play.
Yeah,
but again, the same problem.
Throwing the ball.
Same problem. He ends up fumbling the ball because there's no communication between the center. And there you go.
You're talking about at halftime. Yeah, at halftime, they go to spike the ball for the field goal attempt.
Yeah.
And he had a fumble. I don't know if you heard about that, but Sean McDermott was talking about that, why he didn't still spike the ball. And apparently, there was concern that would be considered intentional grounding
Because he had it for so long,
and then spiked it in the pocket.
Right.
So
well, if
they,
he had, yeah.
they, Sean McDermott said, going forward, we now know that shouldn't be a problem. So they suggested the Bills must have called the league and said, in this circumstance, would that be a penalty? And they must have said, no, it wouldn't be when you're trying to spike the ball.
So it's like
stop the
Josh
clock.
Was trying to make a heads up play thinking
he's trying to do the best he could with the situation.
Yeah. After just having almost lost the football and having no clue how to handle it. Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened with Isaiah McKenzie. The ball was not supposed to go to him.
Right.
Remember, Josh scrambled. He throws it to Isaiah McKenzie.
Right.
McKenzie admitted, I should have just fucking ran out of bounds. Yeah. I know that. It was boneheaded. It was. But he wasn't even supposed to get the ball. Like, you know what
split,
I mean?
Split second decisions, man.
Right.
When you're you're probably clouded because you can't breathe and you're ready to die.
And we talked about this. All these circumstances where we're caught because we've never faced that exact circumstance before. The 13 seconds, the kicking it in the end zone instead of squibbing it down the field. Like all these different circumstances that maybe you should know, but you just split moment decision, gotta run, gotta
and,
hurry, gotta
and I can
go.
Tell already that you guys feel the same way I do, which is that Isaiah McKenzie has made mistakes in the past, and we've judged him harshly for it.
Right.
In this circumstance, you really can't do that for anybody
out there. Yeah, absolutely not.
You're trying.
It was in the heat.
You're trying
people,
to play.
People were almost passing out on the field.
I mean, it was a crazy emotional game. Like, Josh Allen, we talked about this, and you talked about it, Jake, where you had a theory of sorts that the heat would only make you more edgy. It would only make it more uncomfortable.
Jason was saying that too.
I brought that up to him actually.
Okay.
But
exactly. Because
like, you know, we're used to being in the cold, right? And it doesn't matter how cold it gets. I'm not going to start like being belligerent and getting angry at people. I'm getting cold. But the heat, man, it just does
the
something
heat,
to you.
Yeah, you can't breathe. Like Josh Allen said, at times I was having difficulty breathing.
Yeah, you're uncomfortable. You just you know,
nuts, some guy tries to rip your nuts off. You get a little upset and take his helmet
or kick you in the nuts, man. I'll tell you what, that motherfucker, they better find him. That's ridiculous.
They have no proof. You can't see a good angle on it.
Yeah.
I saw a video on somebody, I don't know, maybe it was off their camera or something on their phone, but you could literally see it was definitely intentional. That was exactly the plan.
Well, if that's true, then I hope that happens.
I mean, Josh, you obviously believe Josh that was happening because
absolutely
he's not going to react like that for no reason.
No.
He's not that type of player. But
nope.
Yeah, it's just, unfortunately, the way the game went didn't go in our favor. We all know that.
Right.
We had, and the awesome part about this team, and we all thought this and talked about it, is these guys fought to the very last.
Yeah, you can't fault them.
Without
Stephon Diggs
guys,
is collapsing
man.
On the sideline.
Right.
Isaiah McKenzie's throwing up at halftime.
And how many times did that happen? And he just kept coming back out because there wasn't anybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
He just kept trying to
doing everything he had in him to.
And like I said, nobody takes care of their body better than fucking Diggs. Like, you know, 90 plays, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about that game for hours. The penalties were fucked up. You know, the 90 offensive play in Miami had two defensive penalties. Like,
yeah, that's
that was
crazy.
A joke.
That's crazy.
That's an absolute joke.
Yeah.
The dirty play from some of the Miami players and shit like that. And I'm not making excuses for the loss. The Bills had all their opportunities.
Well,
they could have won
not
that
to
game,
mention
but
the failed pass interference calls over and over and over again.
Yeah. I just.
Yeah, the kick in the groin from intentional kick in the groin from Melvin Ingram to Josh.
For sure.
I mean, that's on tape. He should be getting fined for that. There's,
I hope something comes
there's
out.
There's no way he shouldn't. There's no
Somebody
way.
Somebody suggested on GR that he will have zero respect.
Well, and which
NFL.
One of our guys was it that pushed Tua? Because I think he should get fined too, honestly.
Oh, Matt Milano.
Milano.
Yeah, he 100% should get fined for that.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. I agree with
you gotta,
that
100%. You got to keep it fair, man. Like, I mean, that's...
Yeah, you can't hold somebody else accountable and not your own team. And I think he knows that. I think he probably right after that went, you know, I don't think he was actually trying to hurt him, but I think he was stumbling backwards, and when you're stumbling backwards, it's hard to stop yourself. So,
first, yeah, I get it.
So, yeah, that one I could see. But then the hit on Waddle, we get a personal foul when just the previous series, Dawson Knox just about gets his head taken off.
Yeah, and nothing. Yeah.
And nothing. Not a
that was bullshit for
just
sure.
Not a lot of even calls didn't really happen in that game where it should have.
Right.
You know, and who knows? I mean, obviously, we're Bills fans, so we could be, well, yes, we could be biased, sure, a little bit here,
absolutely,
and there.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's obvious, but
that would not be a surprise at all.
But there is. I mean, like,
because we love these guys, man. We're looking to protect them just like the coaches. You,
yeah,
know what I mean?
But if the NFL is like saying they want to buckle down on violent hits,
right?
That one on Dawson Knox, I don't know
that was
what else
violent,
you're going to need,
man,
to do.
That was like absolutely fucking violent.
Well, and you, mm-hmm, can certainly tell the difference, because I can't remember what the guy's name was, but one of the Miami players got hit and his helmet flew off. And I thought there might be something, but after I watched a replay, they didn't do anything wrong. It just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. Yeah.
It was completely different than what happened to Knox.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that was a bad hit. But anyways,
yeah,
like the Bills.
We got to move on.
We're going to move on.
Just like the Bills want to move on and get that game out of their hair and focus on winning. Moving to Baltimore this week. We're going to be in Baltimore. Hopefully, like
a healthier team.
We all said we were going to be healthier and get some guys back. But the one wrench in the system is going to be this hurricane coming up. I mean, they're going to,
yes,
they're calling for some pouring rain now.
That.
So, man, I mean, can we catch a little bit of a break here? We go from extreme heat to possibly a downpour,
yeah,
the whole game,
force,
man.
Winds and shit like that.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it'll be from what I understand, it's a little bit too early to tell exactly where we're going to be, but they're predicting it could be just about,
could be some nasty weather
in it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not cool.
Right. Like right. Well, they're talking, yeah, about moving the, what is it, the Tampa game, maybe?
The Tampa game, correct.
Yeah, so they're talking about moving that one, so
yeah, I have
we'll
a family friend that lives in Tampa, and she was just posting some stuff on Facebook about how they're hunkering down. But the good thing is, where she lives, it's right on the coast, it's not as violent there.
Right, right.
So they're going to get more of the back end of it.
Right.
Which is good, but either way, Tampa,
a lot of rain.
Tampa plays right in that area, you know, like, yep, maybe half an hour from where they live. And yeah, it's going
to. They're talking about moving it like to the Midwest, like completely out of Florida.
Right.
Don't even deal with it. We'll just move up to like Michigan or,
yep,
somewhere like that. So
yeah, it's going to be a challenging week based on obviously getting guys back and then whatever this weather is going to be like.
That's going to be,
you
huge,
know?
Man.
For sure.
If we can get back a couple of those guys, like I have some confidence Poyer might be back, maybe at Oliver. He said a couple of weeks. They didn't talk about a high ankle sprain. So normally they're pretty forthcoming, like Jake Kumerow.
Right.
High ankle sprain, he's going to be out a few weeks. We never heard that with Ed Oliver.
No.
It was just an ankle sprain. So hopefully, just because he's a bigger dude, sport,
yeah,
maybe he needed an extra week more than like Gabe Davis. And we're not even sure Gabe Davis was 100%.
Right.
You know, he did play, but I don't remember. Somebody
he
said
seemed,
something. He caught 50% of his passes.
Yeah, he just didn't seem
like he
right.
wasn't 100%, maybe.
He didn't seem right, yeah.
So hopefully he'll be better. Everybody will be in a better place. And because I think we're the better team. Again, I think we were the better team. As we talked about, Josh Allen put up 400 yards passing. Two touchdowns. I think we were the better team overall.
I agree.
We held them like 212 total yards.
Yes.
You know, normally if you put up almost 500, I think it was 497, and they put up, 212, you're talking about you want a game fairly conveniently. Yeah. Pretty handily.
Right.
So, yeah, that being the case, I think against Baltimore, I think we are a better team.
Absolutely.
Overall.
Well, what's
just
the,
but we need the bodies to be able to make that a reality.
Yeah, what's the game plan going to look like against Baltimore this week? Because the last time we played them, now you got to remember, the last time we played them was in Buffalo for that playoff game, and we had shit weather then as far as it was windy as shit because
right,
I was
right.
there. And, I mean, it was hard to throw the ball because of
Lamar
that.
Lamar
threw
that interception in the end
zone.
Yeah,
they kept dropping everything too, didn't they? It was a rough game.
They dropped a lot. But we shut Lamar down running the ball because
yep.
we knew that, obviously, that was his strong suit.
Force him to throw the ball. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, do you think the game plan going into this weekend is going to be pretty much the similar case to defend him?
Were you saying that basically their running game is non-existent except for Lamar?
Except for Lamar. Yeah, their running backs haven't. It's kind of like the Bills, right? Their running backs haven't done anything.
Right.
But Lamar has. Lamar's
just like Josh has.
Correct. But he's. Obviously, more rushing yards than Josh.
Well, he had that one
run
of 79 yards for a
that
touchdown
too, yeah.
or whatever, so that's
going
to definitely inflate your stats.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? I
mean,
I would assume they're going to go in. The Bills are going to go into this game with a very similar game plan of how to beat them like we did in that playoff game.
Right.
It's got to be pretty similar.
Yep.
You know, they haven't really changed much on offense. Mark Andrews is their leading wide receiver, their tight end. You know, they have Devin Duvernay, which is probably their deep threat. And then Rashad Bateman, the other guy.
Yes.
So, yep. I mean, and that's kind of it, you know?
Yeah, they're not I would say Rashad Bateman could be a number one wide receiver in the NFL, but I don't think he's elite. You know, Duvernay is not. They're not. These are not elite guys. These are not Tyreek Hill and Waddle.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
They're good receivers, now, but they're not those guys.
But do you think that we're weak at the long ball at this point, at the deep throw?
We could be, for sure.
It's possible. With a wounded backfield.
If I'm Lamar and I can maybe make those passes, I would probably go for it. You don't have much of a choice.
It's going to be a separation thing.
They will test us deep.
Yep.
It's got to be a guarantee they're going to test us deep. I mean, Tua did it, and these guys are probably going to try it. Why wouldn't they? Especially on our two safeties. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, so, like I say, Lamar Jackson happens to be top, three guys as far as quarterback play this year.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
He's definitely somebody you got to be mindful of, a dual threat guy like we have with Josh. Now, fortunately, our defense has to defend Josh in practice day in, day out.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's brand new. We're familiar with Baltimore. Like you said, we played them enough times that we know what Lamar Jackson's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the speed at the linebacker position and especially safety position. If, of course, we had Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. One of the things we touched on personally, we didn't mention in the podcast, is that talent, like Kyir Elam, is a very talented cornerback. But the question is, it's not a replacement for experience. Experience is a tremendous teacher. And that's where Hyde, Poyer, Milano, and Trey Edmonds and all these guys, they've got a lot of experience now, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So that's part of that equation. So having Poyer back maybe would be a huge some help.
Yes.
Dane Jackson,
Poyer,
a little more experience in the defensive backfield would definitely be a big plus.
Poyer would be huge because Poyer is he's kind of like Trey Edmonds in a way, where Trey Edmonds is technically the guy that makes the calls at the line of scrimmage, tries to help get the front guys set up where they need to be. But Jordan Poyer makes a lot of calls.
The back end communicator.
You know, he tries to, you know, talk about coverage. You know, he's, you know, he'll come up and he'll be like, hey, you got me behind you if you need me.
Right,
or,
right.
You know, he'll tell the corner, hey, cheat up on this guy. Or,
I've got
you know,
him.
Or,
yeah.
You know, we're cover two or whatever have you. Like, he's a communicator back there.
Right.
And like you said, if you have the game experience to be able to communicate that to guys, that's huge. Because, for instance, Kyir Elam, he's not a huge zone coverage guy, right?
Right.
So what can happen to him is he may think he has safety help and he'll let a guy go and boom, he doesn't have it.
Right.
And there's a touchdown. So there's different things that you really got to kind of consider. And I think that's why they let Elam in the Miami game play man to man. So he didn't have to think. He
could just takes
play.
Out all that.
Right.
Exactly.
Out of your mind. And that's going to be a factor. I mean, that's a tremendous point because, you know, the defensive game plan is going to be based on the personnel they have available. You know, they probably will have to stick to man-to-man if they end up in a very similar circumstance, at least a hybrid of a man-to-man versus zone, if they end up with personnel that are young.
And we have to hope that their minimal number of threats that they have will be beneficial to us in that regard.
Yeah, and the good part is, I mean, if you want to look at something positive, number one, of course, we held the ball for a tremendous amount of the game. So we did control the play. We failed at the final goal of actually scoring the points.
Right.
But as far as actual gameplay, we talked about how their average series was over 10 plays.
60-plus yards.
Yeah, they had 19 plays, a 20-play drive or 21-play drive. Like,
yeah.
They maintained control of the ball extremely well. And that required our defense to do a little bit less because they only had to face 40 plays or whatever. But they did a great job. They held them to 212 yards.
Yeah.
That's total offense. So, you know, optimistically, the optimistic side of me points to that and says, we made it work. It's just everything that could possibly go wrong dead. When Josh had an open receiver, skipped it to him.
That's it,
you know, just Gabe Davis couldn't hold on to the football in the end zone. Like, just a Matt Milano, the interception. It would have been a pick six, slipped through his hands. It was just any one of those plays goes a different way. We win the game, and we're not even having this conversation.
100%.
So, yeah. So I think we'll, no matter what, we'll be ready for Baltimore. I think we'll be, as a team, ready to play.
I agree.
It's just I hope we have a few more horses in the backfield.
Yeah,
to help.
That's what we need, you know. And I had you look up the stat earlier. Baltimore is bottom five teams against the pass so far this year.
Yeah,
so
they're terrible as far as yards per play and shit.
Well,
they're giving up a ton.
And I mean, honestly, I don't know whether it's going to happen, but assuming that the weather is kind of wet and wild, we might see a runoff between the two quarterbacks this week, which would be kind of neat.
It's potentially possible, yeah.
Yeah, high potential for that, I think.
For
so.
For sure.
For real, I mean. And then
and
hopefully,
Josh is being weighed up against Lamar all the time, so it would be nice to kind of let him stick it to him a little bit.
Yeah, someone posted, or I was maybe a sports site or whatever on Facebook or Twitter, and they're like, how is Lamar versus Josh not a primetime game? You know? And if you think about it, it's kind of true, man. It's like, how are those two guys not on prime?
But it's crazy because of their schedule.
Yeah.
So, like, all right, what about Burrow and Josh? Well, sure, that should be prime time.
Sure.
You know, Aaron Rodgers and Josh, well, that definitely should be prime time.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, unless you want the Bills to play every other game in prime time, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Like, even now, Tua versus Josh. You know, you could look back and go, that game maybe should have been primetime.
Oh, that will be primetime.
You wouldn't have known that going into it, though. Now you do.
That could be primetime December 18th, my man.
Talked about that.
That's a TBD game.
Yeah.
And if that could, I mean,
and if they're close, even close within a game or two, could easily be a primetime game.
Easily. Now, who the freak cares to see at this point Bills, Pats primetime? That's just kind of kicked the pass to the side.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Mac Jones is, he hurt his ankle. He's done for a bit.
For at least,
you know what I mean?
For sure,
like, I think the Pats are on a complete downslide.
Yep.
They're
going the wrong way.
You know,
no doubt.
But the other end of the spectrum, too, is how the hell is Joe Flacco number five in passing yards in the NFL?
I remember when you brought that up.
Right?
How? It was like, and I'm like, no, it can't be. And he's like, yeah, it definitely
is.
It's
just weird.
Right.
You know?
And
every
they're talking about Zach
day,
Wilson coming out.
It's like a resurgence.
Coming back this week.
Yeah.
Like, according to Robert Saleh or whatever, he's talking about the fact that, when Wilson's ready, he's back. So,
and not that the Jets are playing hot or anything, but it's like, if you're a head coach,
they're
like,
competitive
right now. Do you basically take away your quarterback that's playing pretty darn decent? For
I would say
what he has, you know, in front of him, and put in Zach Wilson. That
you do,
just
I guess, if you're not
yet,
playing for this year, because I think they probably realize as an organization that being in the AFC, especially with the way Miami's looking and Buffalo's looking and stuff like that, the odds of them making the playoffs probably this year are somewhat slim. So they might as well figure out what they have with Zach Wilson. I got a feeling that's the goal.
Yeah, I could see that for
sure. You know
what
I mean?
Why
let's
not
see what we got, because we have to do something if it's not going to go. You know, we got to see some improvement.
Mm-hmm.
He struggled mightily when he has played. So they're looking for something.
Yeah, and Joe Flacco's not the answer.
Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
like,
he's
you're
not
only
going
to go so far with him anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, yeah, I mean, I think as far as primetime game goes, Miami eventually is going to be one.
Yeah.
At some point, if it's not this year, it'll be next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm old school, man. Squish of fish is fucking in my heart forever.
Do you know?
I stopped hating them for a while because of New England, but
sure,
it came back really quick.
But you know,
in one game.
You know what sticks with me is Brian Cox coming out of the tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
With the fucking middle fingers up.
Yep.
That image sticks to me with Miami wholeheartedly, and that's
if it wasn't for that dirty play, the fucking guy grabbing Josh's junk at the bottom of the pile, which is why he knocked his helmet off and took a personal foul penalty.
Yeah.
You know, Melvin Ingram, I've seen the clip. It's very obvious. He was intentionally trying to kick Josh Allen in the
nuts.
Did
you see the clip, Chip?
No.
You didn't see it?
Yeah.
We'll show it to you.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, wow. And how did nobody see that?
Yeah. You're seeing Josh Allen right at the end before it's cut off, literally going bent over like he made contact.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that got missed. It was stupid.
Yeah.
But if I wouldn't have already hated them a lot, that was enough to bring back that rivalry from 30 years ago where I just, it's a perfect club to fucking hate. I hate Miami. Yeah,
well, absolutely. I got to tell you, like, the thought of Josh Allen not hitting me, but just ripping my helmet off so he could stare into my fucking eyes and show me what he was serious about, that's a terrifying thought to me.
You got that right. Like, yeah. I don't care who you are. That guy's a fucking beast.
He did nothing,
man,
to the guy other than pull his helmet off. Just to be like, hey, guess what?
Pushed his helmet off and went, I know who you are, and yep. I know where you live.
I just wanted to see
you
your face. Yeah.
Yeah, I know who you are.
I'll
I know
come
where
you
live.
Later.
Oh, yeah.
Because when John they come him. Back to Buffalo, it could be a bloodbath, man. Oh, I would not be surprised if the Bills didn't take a little bit of revenge.
Oh, they have this. They have that one circled on their calendar now.
Oh, for sure.
After that game.
For sure.
That's 100% circled.
The sucky part is, you know, who always takes the beating is like the running backs and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Like the wide receivers are the most vulnerable players on the fucking field. So right now, Tyreek Hill and Waddle are probably going, you guys are fucking insane.
Yeah.
We have to go play against these guys. Do you know what their middle linebacker's name is? Tremaine Edmonds. Mm-hmm. He's 6'5", 250 fucking pounds. And we have to run across the middle of the field. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah,
I'll pass.
It's
gonna. I don't
be
know.
A tough
I wouldn't.
One.
I wouldn't want to be in the bottom of a dog pile on the in the red zone either.
No, 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 not at all.
Guys just punching the shit out of each other, and
for sure.
Yeah, that's just crazy. It's got, it's a big one.
We gotta cover our stat of the week.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you got?
So it didn't take long because everybody's been talking about since the playoff games, Josh Allen. So where this is now five games. In the past five games, our bestest buddy, Josh Allen, has got a 73.2% completion percentage. He's thrown for 1,651 yards. That's a game average of 330 yards per game. 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, passer rating 125.1. It's fantastic.
And that's with getting sat through a quarter during one of those three
that's
games.
That's the best five games, consecutive games, that I could find of his career. He has played his best five games of his career the last five games.
And those are against playoff teams and
these are
LA
playing against in a Miami game.
Miami's
Miami
awesome
team that's
right
actually
now?
Way improved than what they were. And they were already pretty good. Like, you know, going back the last couple of years, they've been borderline playoff teams.
Yeah, I bet you if you went back and looked, you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody but Brady who performed that well against that quality of team.
Yeah, I don't know
like
if anybody's definitely had to face that. Like, I mean, you're talking about going back to those games, the New England game, then Kansas City, the Rams, obviously Miami, and Tennessee. You know, so Tennessee got better this week. They won their game. So they're still a good team. You know, these, like yep. you're saying, these are really decent teams. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
Him and Stephon Diggs right now are a deadly combination.
I can't wait to see what he does against shit teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll probably have to pull him at the half or something.
Yeah, they'll pull him at halftime. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be, I mean, we were talking about it earlier. If he stays on his pace of 335 yards a game or whatever,
right
in that area, I mean, you're looking at about third most passing yards in a season all time.
Right.
I mean, that's good company when you're amongst Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Those are the names you're going to be talking about. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Those are the types of people that Josh Allen is keeping company with.
He's got to pass Herbert because Herbert is in the top 15, which was last year for passing yards in a season.
Yeah.
And I think Josh is still a much better quarterback than Herbert. I'm not saying Herbert's not a really good quarterback.
No, and Herbert's learning some stuff this year.
He is, but it's just Josh, to me, is just a different type of animal. He's just a different type of quarterback all around, not just throwing the ball. We all know what I mean. Just the way he plays the game.
We've talked about this before, too, and especially for a young quarterback. It's nice when you've got a Mike Williams and a Keenan Allen. You know, when Patrick Mahomes comes in the league and he's got a Tyreek Hill and a Travis Kelce, it helps to have good receivers. Is it mandatory? Absolutely not. Trevor Lawrence struggled a lot more in previous years than he's looking extremely good this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got some guys to throw a football to. You know what I mean? It makes a difference for a young quarterback. Once you've been in the league for 10 years, you're Tom Brady. give me somebody to throw the football to. And we talked about this with Josh Allen. To a certain extent, he's getting to that point where Gabe Davis can't play, but Diggs is there. He finds Diggs. If Diggs isn't there, then there's Isaiah McKenzie and Crowder, and he will find somebody to throw the ball to. Yep. You know, it becomes more of a plug-and-play kind of a situation once your quarterback is experienced. But as a young quarterback, it's important to have guys to throw to. No Keenan Allen, Herbert struggles a little bit more.
Hurt him, yeah. I mean, but look at this last game against Miami. Josh hit 10 different wide receivers in this game.
Right.
You know, so at this point in his career, too, it's like, yes, he has his favorite. Diggs still caught 7 balls.
Sure.
But he's able to spread it to whoever you want to put out there. He's finding them.
Right.
He's getting the ball to him.
Kudos to Devin Singletary. He had a fantastic game.
And I was going to say, I mean, honestly, you could legitimately argue that if Diggs had to sit out a game, that we would probably still be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Between Gabe Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, Dawson Knox.
Absolutely, because they're going to find...
You know, we would run the ball a little bit more, but, I mean, come on, we're still strong.
Yeah, we have still to even utilize Dawson Knox to any extent.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at what we haven't really had to.
Right.
Yeah, look at Reggie Gilliam. Josh is throwing those lines down to sideline to Reggie Gilliam. I mean, you got Quentin Morris catching balls. You got, like you said, Diggs, and you got... You know, Zach Moss in the mix and
McKenzie
and
James Cook.
Kumerow.
James Cook is going to be, his role is going to be expanding. We both agree, I think, going forward that, again, I think Sean McDermott as a coach kind of slow plays rookies if he can. Kyrie Elam is like Josh Allen. He wasn't supposed to play this much, but guess what?
Now he is.
It's been dictated. You're going to be playing.
100%. Yeah, same with like Christian Benford. Like he is just like, hey, Brooke, you're in, man. You're playing.
Yeah, you're in. But, and he did a fantastic job. Like, he trusts his guys to learn the playbook, to know the plays, and to play extremely well. Yep. And they've done great. They 100%. Have. When called on, we are so fortunate to have the staff that we do because these guys know how to prepare players. And they were ready to play. It was just like we talked about, a comedy of if it could possibly go wrong, it did.
Yeah.
When does fucking Tyler Bass miss a kick, a 38-yarder? Like ever? Probably won't miss another one for 5 years.
That one got tipped a little bit, too.
It didn't
help. But yeah.
So that was a special teams thing.
Yeah,
but
100%.
Yeah.
But
special teams. Now Jake Kumerow's gone.
Right.
They rely on him a lot for special teams.
Yeah, they got to fill in somebody for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I get it, man.
That was the competition between Hodgins and Kumerow.
We're running a little short, Jeff. So
yeah.
We got to do our game picks and
I'm ready.
You know,
man.
Offensive player, defensive player of the week. We got to get that in. So who wants
ready
to start?
When you are.
Who wants to start? Jay, since you haven't been here the last 2 weeks,
we'll
go
put
with
the
you
pressure
first.
On you, boy.
Okay. My offensive player of the week is an easy one, man. I'm going with Isaiah McKenzie.
I like it.
Yeah, nice. He's fast, and I just like his energy. He made a couple of mistakes. I think he's going to work hard to make up for those this game.
I like it.
I think I'm going to go James Cook. I think he's going to have to be active. If the weather's shitty, they're going to have to run the ball a bunch. Short passes, screen passes, things like that. I think he could actually show up for this game.
I like that. I'm going to go in the backfield as well with Devin Singletary again this week. I think he's going to continue his strong play. He had a lot of short yardage grabs out of the backfield. And then, like you said, if we got to run the ball this week, I think he's the type of guy that we can feed
the
rock to, both kind of sides of the spectrum.
Yeah, for sure.
Defense?
My defensive player of the week might not play, but I'm going to go with Jordan Poyer, assuming he shows up.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be an important piece of the puzzle if he does play.
I agree. I'm taking whoever is able to play.
Yep, there you go. Just pick one.
No, I'll tell you what. I'm going with the guy they call the Groot, Greg Rousseau. 3.5 sacks, 3 games. The guy is... everything that I think the Bills hoped he would be.
Yeah, he's strong.
He's strong. He's quick.
I like
it. And he's playing with Von Miller. I'll take Greg Rousseau.
I'm going Matt Milano this week because I think, number one, he could have had 2 pick sixes in
two games. Yeah.
He didn't, but I think he's going to have a big role this week in trying to, now I'm not going to say 100% he's going to shadow Lamar, but I think he's going to shadow Lamar.
I think he would,
And I can see a big game out of him this week, so I'm going Matt Milano.
I like it.
Good call.
Scores?
Sure, man.
Scores? Who wants to go scores? Jason?
I got to go first twice?
Yes.
Well, pressure. I think I'm going to go for like a shootout kind of a score this week, and I'm going to go kind of low. So I'm thinking maybe 24-21 Buffalo.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I'm also thinking less than normal, so I'm going to say like 28-13.
I'm going to go kind of in your realm, Jay. I'm going to go 28-23 Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be a little tougher this week. Little tougher, you know?
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah, sounds good, man. A win is a win is a win, right?
Like, win is a win is a win.
Doesn't really matter.
I don't care. Tell them where to find our stuff.
That's your dude. We've missed that for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we've been.
I had to cover it, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just not as good as Jason is.
Well, if you would like to listen to our podcast, you can find us on Anchor.fm or Spotify or Apple or anywhere you want to listen to it. And please check us out on social media as well at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, look for Sauce Quest Episode 2, which will be coming out soon, and then we'll get some more out to you guys as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, shout out to Dilly Dallys again. Thanks for letting us do samples of all your awesome sauces. We got some good ones lined up for the next new one coming out. Like Jason said, we had one that's already done. We're just waiting to put that out.
Yeah, that'll be ready to go, and then we'll film some more.
But it's been a joy to taste some of these sauces.
I was going
to
say that. That's really the exact good, word that I was going to use, man. It's been a fucking joy.
Yeah, it really has. And we still have a ways to go.
Yeah,
so absolutely. That's the best part about it.
Yeah,
so.
It's a quest, man. It takes a while.
It is.
Yep.
Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. And just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.